Okay. Boker Tov. So our topic today is a simple topic, but it's certainly not simplistic. It has many different dimensions. We're going to focus on one, and that is the topic of emuna. So when you say that, immediately there are so many different things that come to mind. We're going to focus on one specific aspect of emuna. Based on this story, this Gemara, the statement that you have here, it's the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kufya Testament Beis. And we're going to read it very carefully. And Rav Volpe is listening to not just the words, but what is between the words, between the lines of this small Gemara. Welcome. This is like an escape the room project to find the shir today. You made it. You walked like 6 miles in the freezing cold. So we're just getting started. Says the Gemara, Kol ha'omer amen b'chol kocho, poschen lo sha'arei gan eden. I'm on the top line on the right-hand column, line number one. Line one. You made it. Yes. Should we? What's that? Parking and... All right. So it says, Kol ha'ona omein b'kol kocho poschen lo sha'arei gan eden. A person who declares, the word ona in this case could mean answer, because amen is usually a response to someone else reciting a bracha or a kaddish. If a person responds or declares amen b'chol kocho with all of their koch, with all of their might, so what does the Gemara describe? Poschen lo, they open for that person sha'arei gan eden, the gates of Gan Eden. How do you know this? Shenamar, the pasuk says, "Pischu sha'arim v'yavagoy tzadik shomer emunim." Open the gates and let the people come in, the righteous people who are shomer emunim. And the Gemara says what that means is al tikre shomer emunim, but rather rearrange the letters ella she'omrim amen, that they respond amen. What does it mean, amen? I'm on line number three. Am Rabbi Chanina, Kel Melech Ne'eman. The word amen is an acrostic for Aleph Mem Nun, Kel Melech Ne'eman. So comes along the Maharsha. The Maharsha is a very important commentary that appears in the back of the volume of the Vilna Shas, Rev Shmuel Edels. Edels was his wife's family name. His mother, I think it was his mother-in-law's name was Edel, or his in-law's name is, good morning. Sorry, this was a very long hike. You found it. Wait, 1 second. Let's get this straightened out over here. Start again. We'll start again here. Thank you, everybody, for coming and braving the warm climb outside. All right. So this is, at least, I would say this, at least the fact that you had to struggle to find a parking spot and come out in the freezing cold and sit on top of somebody in the back. At least this shtickel Torah from Rav Volpe is a very good shtickel Torah. So it's at least worth coming out this morning. Yeah. If not that, then... Because this is something that comes up all the time. Think about how many times a day we say Amen. So we were just about to get to this Marsha, but we're going to back up 1 second for everybody who just joined us, with the permission of those who got here before, because of the fight in the parking lot. The scrum to get a spot today. I couldn't find one. So the Gemara had said, we just had the Gemara that says, Kol ha'one amen b'chol kocho poschen lo sha'arei gan eden. A person who responds amen with all of their enthusiasm, with all of their power, with all of their koach, they open the doors of Gan Eden to that person. And that's because the pasuk, Pischu, open Sha'arim, the gates, is referring to Sha'omrim Amen. And that word Amen is three letters, which stands for Kael Melech Ne'eman. So far, so good. So we just got to get to the Maharsha. The Maharsha is a commentary that appears in the back of the Gemara, mostly is most famous for his commentary. It's a super commentary on Tosfos. His last name was Edels, because either his mother-in-law was named Edel, or his in-laws, they supported him. So he took on their last name, which was not uncommon in Europe, that there were many Chachamim who were supported by their in-laws, and they took on their last name, or oftentimes they named their Sfarim after their in-laws. So the Maharsha here says the following, on line number 3. If you're following with your thawed fingers, it's the last word on the third line. Ki ha-gan Eden, fourth line, Gan Eden, yesh lo harbe sha'arim. It has many gates. Gan Eden has many gates. Mechitza lefnim mechitza. One barrier inside of another barrier. Thank you very much. Va'omar. And he says, Shezeh ha'ona amen, that this person who answers amen b'chol kocho, with all of their ability, with all of their strength, sheposchen lo kol ha'sha'arim mechadrei gan Eden, they open up all the gates, all of the doors to gan Eden for that person. So you can imagine, like, to get here, we had to walk down a very long hallway. Imagine each step of the hallway was another set of sliding doors. So we start at one end of the sliding doors, and Gan Eden is on the other end of the sliding doors. So usually, you have to get to each door, you have to buzz, you have to get through. But no. A person who's Ona Amen, they open all the doors to Gan Eden. So, Rav Volpe has several things, important insights that he has on this one line. I want to skip the first point which he makes, which is for really a whole nother development about the idea of big and small. I want to focus on a different aspect. Go down now to line, let's go to line 9. I want to skip the beginning of the next paragraph because that's a whole nother shtickle Torah. Here in the beginning of the next paragraph, just so you shouldn't think I'm pulling the wool over your eyes, he talks about the idea how Chazal take a big, deep idea and put it into something tiny. Very often, deep concepts are put into small pieces. So the idea of Amen is very small, but it packs a huge punch, but I don't want to talk about it today. I want to get to that a different time. I want to focus on something else. He makes a very sharp diuk, a very, very astute observation, where he says, Baharbi makomos matzinu b'chazal, now on line 10, loshon muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. When the Gemara, when they want to speak about something, they use a specific term. So very often, if you have a particular practice that you follow, Chazal will tell you, well, this practice means you're such and such a type of a person. So, for example, the Gemara says a person who says Ashrei 3 times a day, so usually we say Ashrei twice in Shacharis and once in Mincha. So if you say, the Gemara says, you say Ashrei 3 times a day, you are a Ben Olam Haba. And that phrase appears in different places. You are a person of the world to come. Right? That's a familiar phrase, right? So Rav Volpe says, wait a second, isn't it interesting that it did not use that phrase here in the context of Amen? It said something else. And it's not coincidental. Gan Eden, which we could try to speculate about exactly what that is, the Torah refers to it, Chazal refer to it, but Gan Eden is not the same thing as Olam Haba. So why is it when the Torah, when the sages wanted to teach us about the power of answering Amen, they did not say someone who answers Amen b'chol kocho, then muftach lo, they're promised that they are ben olam haba. It says that they open the gates for us for all the way straight into, like the Maharsha says, direct, nonstop access to Gan Eden. What about Gan Eden has to do with Amen? Why is it about Gan Eden specifically? It's a very strong diuk. I never thought of this question because it's also compounded. He doesn't mention it here, but the Gemara has other statements about Amen. It says a person who says Amen, God forbid, if lo aleinu, there's a decree in heaven about that person, so they rip it up. Korin lo gzardino. There are a lot of things that are said about the power of Amen. So this one is very specific that they open the gates for us when we say Amen. He says, "Ve'ilu kan ena maskirim olam haba ela Gan Eden." Line 11. We're talking about Gan Eden. Why? And not only that, V'gam diktiku lomar, they were careful to say, ki poschin lo sha'arei gan Eden, that they open the gates of Gan Eden for us. It doesn't say, says Rav Volbi, ve'en omer, it doesn't say, shehu ben Gan Eden, that person is a Gan Eden dika person. It doesn't say that we are of Gan Eden. It says they open the gates of Gan Eden for us. What does that mean? So he has a very brilliant ha'ara. We know that Gan Eden is a place. Now, it's hard for us to understand exactly what that means, because when the Torah describes Ma'aseh Bereishis and what's being created, it's very mysterious by design. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a lot of secrets there that he doesn't tell us in plain English or plain Hebrew. So it says that there is a Gan and there is an Eden, and the Gemara actually tells us even in a couple of places in Shas, tries to figure out, well, if you had a map, where would you find Gan Eden on a map? Well, there's the Gan, and then it's west of the Eden. So there's a whole discussion. Tosfos tries to figure out spatially where is it, proximally, you know, on a map. But obviously, it's much, much deeper than trying to find it on a map. Rav Volbi observes, V'hine Gan Eden hu mekomo shel Adam harishon lefnei hachet. Gan Eden is the place where Adam was before there was a mistake. What was the mistake? What was the chet hakadmon? So it was eating from the eitz hadas tovara. So I think this is what he's saying, but if it's not what he's saying, we'll call it what he's saying. And if it's not good, so he'll say he didn't say it at all. But he's saying something so powerful. What is the problem of the Eitz Hadas Tovara? It's when everything gets messy. It gets murky. There's a taruvus. Taruvus in halacha is what we call a mixture. There's a whole section of halacha in Yoredeya devoted to taruvus. When you have a chalant and the cat fell in the chalant or whatever, you know, there's... It happens in yeshivas. Or milk fell in the chalant, whatever. Taruvus means you have a combination of things. Before, we don't know exactly what it means. At least I don't. Maybe people who know the Chachma Emes. Before Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas Tovara, internally, there was no mixture of Tov and Ra. The Rambam says it was only Emes and Sheker. It was either truth or falsehood. It was all the right way. There was no confusion. There was no mixture. And now, when Adam Rishon and Chava, when they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they internalize the mixture of Tov and Ra. Now there's both going on. I just can't speak to anybody else in this room, only from my own experience. And the truth is, most people in this room have more life experience than I do. But isn't it true that a lot of times in life, we find ourselves in that kind of mess? That things have just gotten very complicated. It's not so simple to be able to parse out the Tov is over here and the Ra is over there. Or even better, if we could parse out the Emes is like this and the Sheker is like that. It gets so complicated and very messy. Whether that's in a relationship that somehow didn't go the way that we planned that it was going to go. Or with our own personal goals, or the life that we imagined for ourselves, or whatever it's going to be, all of a sudden, there's a mixture. It's not so pashut anymore. And sometimes it's due to no fault of our own. That's just the nature of how life is. It just gets complicated. It just gets messy. And there's a mixture of Tov and Ra. That's the nature of this world. It could just be that because we are, you know, we're living outside of Gan Eden, the post-Tov and Ra world, that's the reality of life. It gets confusing. It gets mixed up. But before the eating from the Eitz Hadas, in Gan Eden, in that place, it wasn't mixed up. There was no confusion. There was no complexity. It was just the right thing for the right reasons in the right way. And that's the way it was. We just did the right thing, and it wasn't so difficult to do the right thing. And we didn't have to make so many cheshbonos of, well, if we make this decision, well, how's it going to affect all those other people and all, right? That's so complicated sometimes. And a lot of times we make one decision and it's the right decision, but there's a tov and ra mixed into it. So it's good for this person, but someone else is going to pay the price for that decision. There's a tov and ra that's just by nature mixed up in the world. And I suspect that most of you know it better than I know it. That's the nature of living in a post-Gan Eden world, that it's just complicated. And no matter how hard we try, it's difficult to navigate it perfectly. It just is. He says, at that time, Gan Eden, he says, was the previous existence. But Ba'olam Sha'achar Achet, next paragraph, line 14, in the world after eating from the Eitz Hadas, Shorer Hester Ponim. There is a world of Hester Ponim where God's face is hidden, which is what we're calling today, in our words, not exactly what Revolbi is saying, but this is how we're suggesting. It's this world of confusion, of being mixed up, of everything being together, of how difficult it is to parse out the Tov from the Ra, from the Emes from the Sheker. So what is Revolbi alluding to this idea? That a person who says Amen, what happens to them? The doors open. And where do they go back to? They go back to Gan Eden. What does that mean? So Kael Melech Ne'eman means there is a God that is faithful to me and I'm faithful to him, that we're in this together. Now there's a lot of question in the Rishonim over many generations about the nature of Hashkacha Pratis, where we find Hashkacha Pratis. But one could argue that the question of Hashkacha Pratis or not is really irrelevant. Whether a particular event is Hashkacha Pratis, I don't know. You have to know, there are different approaches to that question. There are different masoras of how to approach that question. But for some people, for me particularly, this is how it resonates for me, I don't know if anybody else, the question of Hashkacha Pratis doesn't matter, because Kael Melech Ne'eman means that the Ribbono Shel'Olam is with you. It's like you're driving in a car, or even better, for some people actually like this, you ever see a picture of someone, they go on a roller coaster with somebody else, right? They chose to do that, by the way. They weren't strapped down there against their will. They choose this. They go with a friend or with a spouse or a parent or a child or something like that, and they go, I don't know why, and you've seen this. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
You do. So they go there, and the thing, you're in a little tin can hanging from a metal string going like 75 miles an hour in the air, and people there having, apparently they think it's fun, they're having a great time, they're loving it over there. And why do they go as a pair? You ever see this? Nobody likes to go. I mean, some people, but most of the time, what's the Ikar fun? You go on the roller coaster with somebody else because it's more fun. You go together. You're in it together. You have that experience together. Life, it's a shtickle roller coaster. But what's the whole chop that you're in the same car with the Ribbono Shel Olam? You're in that little seat together.
You were going there.
That's what it is. I don't know if it's better. Is he supposed to be on the inside or the outside? I don't know.
Good question. Holding your hand.
That's exactly it. In life, going through life is about the Kael Melech Ne'eman. It's that, I don't know where the next turn is going to be, and it could be very rickety, and it could be very painful, and I could walk out, and my back is killing me. I wouldn't even try, because it's not for me. But the question is not so much for this purpose. The question is not so much what the next curve is going to be, because it's going to be complicated. If you're living in the Olam Achar Achet, so life is going to be messy. There are going to be bumps, and it's going to be rickety. It's going to be like that old wooden roller coaster that you hear it clattering when you pull into the parking lot. But if you live with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the cart with you, if it's Kael Melech Ne'eman, if you are faithful to him and he's faithful to you and you're going through it together, you're holding hands when it's going down the drop, so then we can feel that we've gone back to that simpler place. That even though on the outside it's mixed up and it's complicated and there's so much messiness, but on the inside we're going back to a world where it's just me and the Ribbono Shel Olam, just the two of us, and we're going to navigate this really complicated ride together. And that's why it's dafka poschen lo kol hasha'arim, poschen lo shari gan eden, that we go back to Gan Eden, we go to a simpler place. It's not denying the fact that outside there are challenges and that it's messy and there are things that we need to navigate, but it's saying, where am I? Where am I rooted? Where am I coming from to address those challenges? I'm coming from a place before it got messy, before it was Tov and Ra. It was just the two of us. It's interesting that one of the descriptions in Chazal, in the Gemara, is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks with the tzaddikim in Gan Eden. Metayel beGan Eden. So that image is very powerful. It's that there are two, it's going for a walk, it's each one of us going for our own walk with Hashem in Gan Eden. Why is Gan Eden used as the image? Because Gan Eden is the time where it was simple, where it was just the two of us. It was just us and him, kiviyachol. And then it got all confused. But a person who says Amen with that small acknowledgement, that person can take themselves, we can take ourselves out of the messiness of the world, not from a physical standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint, and go back to Gan Eden. And maybe that's why Chazal Rav Volbe doesn't talk about this, but I was wondering, as I was thinking about this piece that's so powerful, that's why Amen comes up so often in the day. There is a din, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and I have never seen anyone distinguish that it should be dafka for men and not for women. I would think that it's probably for both. There is a din in the Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara that a person is supposed to recite 100 brachas a day. 100 brachas a day. So that's a tall order to get 100 brachas a day. But what does that mean? That if you're in a group of people who everybody's reciting a bracha, when you had your tea this morning and this one had their coffee, so you say a bracha and the next person says Amen. Think about how many times you could say Amen on a given day. Tons. Tons and tons of times. So why did Chazal choose Amen as the way to teach us this lesson? I think it's exactly for this reason. Because we, our lives are always struggling with being in a world that is achar hachet. That is being, it's being mixed up with Tov and Ra. So we are constantly in need of those little reminders, those little opportunities to say, yes, this is a rough day. You know, there are two different schools about this. Sometimes, I'm speaking to somebody who, their mahalach is that they don't like to say, oh, this is a rough day. They like to look at the positive side. And they like to say, oh, but there's something positive about that. I never like that. I like to say, oh, it's miserable. I like to call it like it is. Why should I say it's good when it's not? It's talking miserable. So let's say it's miserable. Why should I look for the positive? Don't look for the positive. Say that it's miserable. Enjoy it. But what's the whole chab? Is that even if it is a rough day, even if it is talking miserable, but if you have the Ribbono Shel Olam in the car with you, so that you're going through it together. So it makes you feel so much better, doesn't it? Right? If a person is going on that scary ride, but they have their very close friend, or they have their family member, they have their, you know, their sister, that they're going together, and they always go through these rides together, that's their thing. They always go on the scary rides together, so then they have a good time. Then even if it is taka very scary, and if it kills your back and it makes you feel really nauseous, but you're going together. You see this all the time. I've seen it. I've never gone on one of these things. I sit on the bench very comfortably. The bench is great. But you see people, they go together and they come off together. They feel so good, even though it was very scary. So isn't that what Gan Eden represents for us? It's a simpler time when it was just us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so we kind of go back. We're not retreating from the world. We're engaging in the world every day with all the different challenges, all the things that we need to navigate. But when we Our own amon b'kol kocho, it means that we take our entire self, all of our koach, means everything. And we really invested in saying that there is a kel melech ne'eman. The Rebbe Shalom is capable of taking care of everything. We're together in this. If he wants to intervene, he can. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. But that's not the point. The point is we're ne'emanim to each other. He's not going to let me get off this ride without him. And I'm not going to get on the ride without him either. We're in it together. Kolo'one omein b'kol kocho. This one diuk of Rav Volbi, that it's Dafka Gan Eden, it's that place before everything got messy, I think can have a very powerful impact in our lives. Because the Amens, they don't just respond to a bracha, they are actually an affirmation. And that's why the Gemara says that it's a Kel Melech Ne'eman. This is why, I don't know if anybody ever did it here, I know that I've heard that in New York, in different places, they have amen parties. People get together. They have it here. What's the whole story about this? There's an old sefer. I know we're going a little bit over time. Where it's a little bit over time, but we started very late. So if anybody has to run, gesundheit. There was an old sefer that has, it was called V'imru Amen, was published in the 19th century. It has a very amazing haskama from none other than the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. A whole sefer dedicated to the power of amen. There's like a zillion Ma'amari Chazal about the importance of Amen. That's why they have these Amen parties. What is the whole story about Amen parties? It's an opportunity for people to refocus on the fact that Kel Melech Ne'eman, that there is a God in our lives. And you have an Amen party. Everybody says Amen. But what the main purpose, I suspect, is that when the rest of the day, when you say Amen, you know, 50 times when you hear a bracha, it has more meaning. It has more resonance, has more significance. So I think we'll continue Emir Tashem next week with some of the other pieces. But to me, this idea is not about, the Amen is not about how much you merit Olam Haba, but as much as where is a person in their mindset. You know, Dr. Pelkovitz, and we'll close with this, Dr. Pelkovitz talks a lot, and everybody here knows it from their own life experience, that so much of our experience in life is dictated not by our environment, by what's going on around us, but where our mind is. The word simcha, he likes to quote, is from the word sham moach. There's where your mind is. It's a mindset. It's a state of mind. So the idea that a person is in Gan Eden, is that a physical place? It is somewhere, but I don't know if Gan Eden is 18 degrees below zero or not, but the point is that it doesn't matter. Gan Eden is in here. That when we say Amen B'Kol Kocho, then we're going back to that place inside. No one can take that away. That's my Gan Eden. That's the Kol Ha'ona Amen B'Kol Kocho. That's the message that a person can take with them, and that is eternal. That Poschen Lo Shari Gan Eden, I would suggest, is something that many people probably have experienced. That there's sometimes there's so much going on, but you can just take a moment of solitude to yourself and say that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with me in this moment, and you feel that they opened all the gates. That's opening all the gates back to the original. Before the chait, before all of this confusion, we have that opportunity, and that's what is being given to us as this gift of the Ona Amen B'Kol Kocho that we can do every day. Thank you all for making the trek. Have a great day and a great week.